Blog Talk Radio.
Thankful for prayers. Thank you. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the righteous prayers of the many that prayed that we would go forth this morning. Lord God, I thank you for showing me another way to get on and be able to blog this morning, learning something new, and I'm thankful for it. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm thankful for this new way of coming into my dashboard to be able to do this show, God, to be able to do this Bible study, God, to be able to give you honor, to be able to give you glory, to just thank you, Lord, for my pastor. Thank you for everyone on the Genesis prayer line that prayed for this blog to go forth, for this show to go forth. Lord, I can do nothing more than say thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much, God, for just being who you are, awesome and mighty, great and mighty, for just being a God that can and a God that will take care of his children. Lord God, I can't do more than say thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity after opportunity to give you glory, to give you honor, to give you praise. Lord, I just say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. Thank you, Father God, for your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness and for your kindness. Thank you, Father God, for just being who you are, awesome and mighty. Lord God, I lift up all those that are just in need today. I lift up families that are grieving. I lift up children without fathers. I lift up families. I ask you, Lord, to give parents hearts of love for their children, Lord God. And that no child will ever feel alone because of the things that go on in their life. Lord God, I'm praying for those young girls who are pregnant. I pray, Lord God, especially those that are wanting to keep their children, that they get family support, God. I don't know who that prayer is for, God, but you do. And so I lift up parents who claim to love you, God, but want to disavow and disown their children who have gotten pregnant outside of marriage. Lord, I'm praying for parents to be loving and kind and to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And so, Father, as I lift up this word this morning, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor, and I give you glory. For you are my Father, God, and I am grateful to be your daughter. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I look up. I lift up. And I just say thank you, Lord, for another day. Let this word touch hearts. Let this word touch minds. Let this word touch spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Again, I am grateful to be back with you today. I was having some technical issues, but I know that it was on purpose, and I needed to have the technical issues. Many don't know, but I live kind of in the country, and I do not have city water. I live on a well. I have well water, and I can tell you it is the greatest water you could ever have. It is so nice. I actually quite enjoy having a well. And my well, there's an electric, it's a pump that pumps the water from the well into the home. And it's an electrical part that hooks in and causes the water to go. But if the electricity goes out, I have no power. When I have no power to the well, I have no water. And I live in an all-electric house. But it was my house to find. It's a small piece that went out. It goes out about once every year on the well. And I don't know if it's because it's hitting it too hard or what's going on. But anyway, this piece went out. And had I been logging on Chris and hosting yesterday, I would have missed the call from the well company. And because I was not on the show from yesterday, the well call came through. And I was able to speak to the person. And he had told me that, you know, he was grateful that I had called for that because he was waiting for a call from someone else. And that had he had that call before mine, I would probably still be without water today. But because he got my call first, he was able to come out immediately about 8:30. I had water. And then as he was standing talking with me, he said, had you not called, I would not have been able to make it out here today because the call I had been waiting for the last couple of days came in after yours. So I was able to get you today, and I'll get him tomorrow. So can y'all praise God with me? Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for my water from my well. Hallelujah. But I know that the water that I seek, the water that I crave, water that can only come from Jesus. So thanking all of you, thanking God, being grateful, being thankful, and knowing that I am blessed beyond measure. So glory to God in the highest, and may His grace reign forever. In Jesus' name, I pray, Father God, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, God, more. For each and every one of you. Thank you, God. Just be wonderful and so great. But he is great. And greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. As they say, let's get started this morning. Thank you, God. Hey, family, let's get started in our word. Please join me in Genesis chapter 33, and we will be in chapter 33, 34, 35 through 36 this morning. We will be in our psalm today, the ninth psalm, starting at verse 1 through verse 10. Proverbs, starting at chapter 3, chapter 21, 1 through 30, and now chapter 12, starting at verse 1 through verse 50. So let's get started in our word. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, God. All right. And the word of God, as we all know, Joseph, this is our title, the Lord will be your confidant, will keep your foot from being caught. Because we know, the Lord was a little afraid. He was just walking in fear. Because he knew that he had done some dirt over 20 years ago. And we know we all need to be kind of rough on each other. And he knew the one he was going to be, not only his birthright, but his blessing as well. Understand that. Birthright. He's all the way away. The blessing he kind of stole. So he is really a little bit afraid of his brother. And so now they're meeting up for the first time.
And remember, Jacob and Rahab are now Israel. He walked with a limp now.
And so I'm sure that when he saw the water walk a limp,
he's kind of probably even that hard heart.
He was coming back to a place.
But again, there's a lot of things that go on. God gives you some other thing that happens.
Where you have to really show your faith.
So let's hear the word. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked there, and saw what was coming.
And with him were 400 men.
So he divided and chose a leader, and the two maidservants.
And he put the maidservants and their children in front.
Leah had her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last.
Because this is before Benjamin was born.
Then he crawled over before them, bowed down to the ground seven times, and came near to his brother.
But Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and they wept.
And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, Who are these with you?
So he said, Your children, God has graciously given your servant.
Then the maidservants came near, and they and their children.
And bowed down.
And Leah also came near with her children.
And they bowed down.
Afterwards, Joseph and Rachel came near.
And they bowed down.
Then Esau said, What do you mean by all this company?
Which I've met.
And he said, These are to find favor in the sight.
Of my Lord.
But Esau said, I have enough.
My brother, keep what you have for yourself.
And Jacob said, No.
Please, if I have now found favor in your sight,
then receive my present from my hand, and inasmuch as I have seen your faith.
I had seen the face of God,
and you were pleased with me.
Please take my blessing.
That is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me.
And because I have enough.
So he urged him, and he took it.
And Esau said, Let us take our journey.
Let us go, and I will go before you.
But Jacob said to him, My Lord knows that the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me.
And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flock will die.
Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant.
I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock
that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my Lord in Seir.
Esau said, Now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me.
But he said, What need is there?
Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord.
So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth,
built himself a house, and made booths for the livestock.
Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth.
Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan,
when he came from Padan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city,
and he brought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor,
Succoth's father,
for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohim Israel.
Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, when she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her.
Let's break it down, as they say, where the ghost can get it.
He raped her.
He raped a virgin.
He raped Jacob's daughter. And this is what it says. His soul was strongly attracted to Leah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, give me this young woman as a wife. Now you violated her. You done took what was not yours to have outside of the marriage bond, but now you want to marry her. But at least he wanted to marry her. But that is a horrible way to say, oh, I want to marry you. Let me rape you first. You know, calling it like it is. We're going to keep it real on this blog. And then as we go forth in verse number 5, it says, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his livestock in the field. So Jacob held his peace until they came. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife and make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters to yourself. So you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade in it and acquire possessions for yourselves in it. Now remember, what did the God say? Do not take wives from the daughters of Canaan. But this king is trying to entice them to take wives from Canaan and for them to give their daughters to the Canaanites. So let's keep seeing. Let's see what goes forward. And it says, then Shechem said to her father and her brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me ever so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to what you say to me. But give me the young woman as a wife. Can we say a privileged young man here? But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, says, and spoke deceitfully, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised. But this would be a reproach to us. But on this condition, we will consent to you. If you will become as we are, if every male of you is circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughters and our daughter and be gone. And their word pleased Hamor and Shechem. And Hamor's son. So the young man did not delay to do the thing because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the household of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, these men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For indeed, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men consent to dwell with us to be one people. If every male among us is circumcised, as they are circumcised, will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? There's a greed thing. They threw greed in there, so they would say, ooh, we can take this. And then it says, only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us. And all who went out of the gate of his city heeded Hamor and Shechem, his son. Every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, the two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city, and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, and their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones, their wives, they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household or not." But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a harlot? Should he treat our sister like a harlot?" And we will go back to the Genesis 33, 34, 35, 36 life lessons after we finish the reading of the word this morning. It says, "Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was in Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the cherubim tree. So the name of it is called Alon Bechut. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. All God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land." Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had talked with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Beth-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. And it happened when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Israel heard about it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's midservant, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him and Padan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Ader, Kiriath Arba, that is Abaron. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Chapter 36 of Genesis. Now this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom. Did y'all catch that? Esau and his descendants are Edom. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, Aholabamah, the daughter of Anai, the daughter of Zebion the Havite, and Basmath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Now Adah bore Elphaz to Esau, and Basmath bore Reuel, and Aholabamah bore Jaash, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the persons of his household, his cattle, and all his animals, and all his goods which he had gathered in the land of Canaan, and went to a country away from the presence of his brother Jacob. For their possessions were too great for them to dwell together, and the land where they were strangers could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And this is the genealogy of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These were the names of Esau's son, Elphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau, Reuel, the son of Basmath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Getam, and Kenneth. Now Timnah was the concubine of Elphaz, Esau's son, and she bore Amalek to Elphaz. Excuse me. These were the sons of Ada. Esau's wife. These were the sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shema, Mizah. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholabamah, Esau's wife, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, and she bore to Esau Jeush, Jalam, Korah. These were the chiefs of the sons of Esau. The sons of Elphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, was chief Teman, chief Omar, chief Zepho, chief Kenaz, chief Korah, chief Getam, chief Amalek. These were the chiefs of Elphaz in the land of Edom. They were the sons of Ada. These were the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, chief Nahash, chief Zerah, chief Shama, chief Mizah. These were the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholabamah, Esau's wife, chief Jeush, chief Jalam, chief Korah. These were the chiefs who descended from Aholabamah, Esau's wife, the daughter of Anat. These were the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seir the Horite, who inhabited the land Lotan, Sobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishon, Izar, Dishon. These were the chiefs of the Horites, the son of Seir, in the land of Edom. And the sons of Lotan were Uri and Heman. Lotan's sister was Timnah. These were the sons of Shobal, Alvan, Menahath, Ebal, Shepho, Anam. These were the sons of Zebion, both Ajah and Anah. This was the Anah who found the water in the wilderness as he pastured the donkeys of his father Zebion. These were the children of Anah, Dishon, Ahalabama, the daughter of Anah. They were the sons of Dishon, Hemdan, Ishban, Etheran, Kiran. These were the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zavon, Achan. These were the sons of Dishon, Uz, and Aaron. These were the chiefs of the Hurites, Chief Lothan, Chief Shobal, Chief Zebion, Chief Anah, Chief Dishon, Chief Ezer, Chief Dishan. These were the chiefs of the Horites according to their chiefs in the land of Seir. Now these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhaban. And when Bela died, Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Hisham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. And when Hisham died, Hadan, the son of Bedan, who attacked Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. And the name of his city was Aven. When Hadan died, Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. And when Samla died, Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place. When Saul died, Baal-Hanan, the son of Ichbar, reigned in his place. And when Baal-Hanan, the son of Ichbar, died, Hadar reigned in his place. And the name of his city was Pul. His wife's name was Me'at-Tabel, the daughter of Madrid, the daughter of Mizahab. And these were the names of the chiefs of Esau, according to their families and their places, by the names Chief Timnah, Chief Alva, Chief Jethin, Chief Aholabama, Chief Elah, Chief Dinah, Chief Kenez, Chief Teman, Chief Mizar, Chief Migdal, Chief Aram. These were the chiefs of Edom according to their dwelling places in the land of the possession. Esau was the father of the Edomites. Can we say that again? Esau was the father of the Edomites. And yes, he is a descendant. They were descendants of Isaac. But they were not the ones of promise. Because again, the birthright went to Jacob, Israel, and his descendants. And so as we go back to Genesis chapter 33, verse 11, please take my blessing that is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me. We should be glad that God does not deal with us on the basis of our own righteousness, but on the basis of his boundless grace. He blesses us because of who he is, not who we are. You better preach, Dr. Stanley. And as we continue in our life lessons for Genesis, in Genesis chapter 35, verse 2, put away the foreign gods that are among you. God calls for exclusive allegiance, not allegiance to God and something or someone else, but allegiance to God alone. He will accept no other kind of loyalty. Don't play with God.
do not play with God. And as we go forth in our psalm this morning, we are coming out of the ninth psalm today. And when we go into the psalm, and also for those that are just joining us, the show today will be an hour and a half as we make up for yesterday's word. We're incorporating it into today's word. And as we go into our psalm, in the ninth psalm, it says, and this is where our title also comes out of Proverbs today. Our title for yesterday was, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And God changed it over to, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Because God said, I got you. And that's what we have to always remember. God got us. Whatever we're going through, God got us. When your well's not working, God's got you. Woo, praise the Lord. I'm still on a thank you, Lord, for bringing water back to my house. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning for my well. I'm thankful that the water that comes out of it comes from the aquifer and it's pure and just, ooh, it just melts in your mouth pure. And when I had it tested by a water company, you know, they always trying to sell you a system. You know, he put bottled water, and then he put some water that he had brought, and then he shook it all up and showed us how bottled water sometimes has stuff in it that is not the healthiest, and that we can't just depend that bottled water is good for us. And then he got some of my well water, and he shook it, and he shook it, and he shook it some more, and it stayed just as clear. And then he shook it some more, and it stayed just as clear. And he shook it again, and it stayed just as clear. And he said, well, I guess your well water is pure than what I have, so you're fine. And we're like, we already know that, because God's in charge of the water that comes into our home. So we give it all to God, and I thank him again today. Thank you, Lord, for my well. And thank you for the well and the water that is given to me through Jesus Christ. Because the water he gives, we will thirst no more. Hallelujah. Thanking God. And as we go into our psalm, please join me in the ninth psalm. And the first verse. And it says, to the chief musician, to the tune of death of the Son, a psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's my testimony this morning. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fail and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Woo, hallelujah. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He has judged the world in righteousness. And he shall administer judgment for the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, to a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. Hallelujah. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Hallelujah. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for not forsaking me? And as we go back into our life lessons, we have a what about, what the Bible says about his worthy eternal name. Psalm 9, 1 and 2 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Surely we can agree that God is worthy of praise. But why is his name written in such a unique way?
What does it mean when we see God's name, Lord, in all capitals? Whenever we see Lord presented in this way, it is because the origin Hebrew text said Yahweh, YHWH. These four letters are known as the Tagramathon, and the signify the personal name of God, because YHWH does not have any vowels and do not know exactly how to pronounce God's name. Most often we hear his name pronounced as Yahweh or Jehovah. However, what is really important is that the wondrous name reflects God's character. YHWH means that he is the existing one, the I am. God told Moses in Exodus 3 and 4, I am who I am, because the Hebrew language does not indicate time here. Another way we can translate this is, I will always be who I have always been, and I will forever be who I am now. Hallelujah. God never changes. As faithful and loving as he was yesterday, he will also be today, and he will continue to be for all eternity. That is why God is so worthy of our praise and adoration, because we are certain that he will help us with the same wisdom, love, and power as he's helped and those before us. Therefore, whenever you see Lord in all capitals, give him the praise he deserves. Echo the words of the prophet Jeremiah. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Jeremiah 10 and 6. And as we continue, ninth Psalm, verse 7. The Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. God never had a beginning, and he will never have an end. That makes him the perfect judge, for he knows all the causes leading up to an event and all the consequences leading from it. He judges perfectly. Verse number 10, those who know your name will put their trust in you. But you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God never forsakes any man or woman who places his or her trust in him. He may allow them to wade through some very deep and cold waters, but he will never abandon them. Whenever anyone else flees, he remains. Can we say praise the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Hallelujah. We can trust in God. We can trust that he will be with us, that he will protect us, that he will not allow anything to cause us to stumble. Hallelujah says, do not withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Come on now. If somebody asks for a piece of bread and you got a whole platter full, you don't say, come back tomorrow. You give them a piece of bread today. Come on. It says, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Don't get all upset with people that haven't done anything to you. And it goes on to say, in other words, mind your own business. Proverbs 3:26, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Our title for this morning. When we listen to God and obey his commands, he gives us the wisdom we need to avoid dishonest schemes. As Psalms 119:110 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. God protects us when we obey him by giving us wisdom. Can y'all say again, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And here we go with the hypocrites. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. You better preach Jesus. Now, when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to kill on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Jesus said, I ain't playing with y'all today. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it up? Or how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel with nor cry, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 22:22. It says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And this is a word that we as a nation called America, that all nations around the world that are having crazy things going on need to take heed of. If you are a divided nation, if we are a divided world, we will fall. Jesus has said it in his word. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. Blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil, adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. One said to him, Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Come on now, Jesus, I ain't got time. But he answered and said to the one who told him, Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Hallelujah. Are you a sibling of Christ today? Are you doing the will of God? Are you standing on his word this morning? And as we go back to life lesson from verse 8, it says, The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. As the creator of heaven and earth, Jesus was far greater than the Sabbath, a day instituted to remember the work of creation. Jesus is Lord of all. The Sabbath was intended to honor him. Hallelujah. And as we continue in our life lessons this morning, and we do have a life question, then I say get your pen, get your paper, so you can write this down. But when we go to this life question, binding Satan, because we always hear people say, and I bind this and I bind that. So let's see what Dr. Stanley has to say about binding Satan. Because Jesus triumphed over Satan at the cross, the believer can claim victory over Satan in daily battles. A Christian is indwelt with the triumphant power of the Holy Spirit and has the privilege of exercising a divine authority more powerful than the authority of Satan. 1 John 4:4. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can restore and release someone who has been bound by exercising the higher authority of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12:29, Jesus asked, how can one enter a strong man's house unless he first binds the strong man? We know that we must bind Satan. We must bind Satan in order to have victory over him. So how can we bind Satan? There are three things we must have and use. The name of Jesus. The first thing, when you get ready to bind the evil one, you've got to bind him in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us to pray in Jesus' name, John 16:23. Throughout the New Testament, the apostles heal and do the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. I transact spiritual business, so to speak, by using the currency of the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. When we ask in Jesus' name, we are saying to the Father, Jesus would have asked this if he were physically here now. Can you imagine what would happen to the church if believers took God at his word and appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit? Whew. And then we can bind in the blood of Jesus. We dare not come boldly into battle with Satan without the protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Throughout the scripture, the shed blood is a symbol of protection and of our redemption. The blood of Christ's sacrifice paid the price of sin and eternally broke the power of Satan over us. Number three, the word of God. Jesus used the word of God. When Satan came at him, Jesus came back with a double punch of the word. He did not play. The enemy came at him with a word. Jesus came back with a more powerful word. And we have to know the word of God to fight this fight. And it says Jesus countered the temptation of Satan by quoting scripture. It is written. We got to get our it is written in order. And it says this. He confronted Satan in spirit-to-spirit combat using the word of God. We must rely on the guidance of God's word. The power to defeat Satan is available to every believer. Every one of us has the ability to deal with Satan by almighty supernatural power of God. We have the right to declare Satan bound, his work restricted, and his prisoners set free. My friend, exercise courage to allow God to use you to the maximum every day. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning that he moved for us to be able to read and teach his word. And as it says, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught, because the enemy is always placing snares in front of us. But we got to trust God that he's got us covered and that he is protecting us. And when we go to verse 25 of chapter 12, Jesus knew their thoughts The book of Hebrews says all things are next of him to whom we must give account. 4:13. And of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, and Paul says, the Lord will reveal the counsel of the heart. 1 Corinthians 4:5. In Matthew 12:31, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy of the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Blasphemy against the Spirit is unforgivable because it prevents repentance. Some worry that they have committed the unforgivable sin, but God will never reject anyone who is truly repentant. Who is repentant? God will forgive. Matthew 12:50, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus came to earth to do the will of his Father. And so anyone who has the same goal is one in spirit with him. A genuine desire to please God creates a stronger bond than anything else in the universe. Have you created your bond with the Lord today? Are you confident? Are you one to know who you belong to? You are a son and daughter of the Most High, and he wants us to run to win. He wants us to do what we are supposed to do. We are to walk in righteousness. And as we go back to our word this morning, and our word for Matthew, where Esau forgave his brother. You know, our prayer and our devotion for yesterday was forgiven. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:25. Merciful God, you are full of forgiveness for those who humble themselves before you. You know that I want to live in the light of your truth. I repent of my selfish ways. I don't want my own way. I just so I can live pleasing myself. It's not worth it. Give me the grace I need to extend forgiveness to those who hurt me. I don't want to hold grudges. God, knowing that they are like rust eating away at my own soul, I have been forgiven of so much. I live in the freedom that your compassion extends. Lord, when I am struggling to forgive those who have wronged me, would you give me the grace to choose it and choose it again until my heart is not triggered in anger or sadness by the thought of them. I lay down every complaint I've been holding on to. The weight is not worth it. Who can you forgive today? Think that through. Who can I forgive today? We got to forgive. We got to shake off and let mess go. It's hard when you look around and you see clutter everywhere in your life. You see clutter in your home. You see clutter in your finances. You see clutter in the people that you associate with. You just see have a cluttered mind. We got to ask God, Lord, forgive me. Lord, show me the way to get my clutter in order. Show me the way to get my life in order. Show me the way to do what you have called me to do. We got to look up, lift up, and give God the glory. And our devotion for today, gifts in disguise. And I have to say, even though I was upset that I couldn't get in to the blog on yesterday, I couldn't get in to my dashboard. It kept saying that I didn't have a show scheduled as I'm sitting here looking at the show that was scheduled and couldn't get in. Didn't understand what was going on. But I know that it was a gift in disguise, because had I been doing what I wanted to do, was I'm going to do my show. I'm going to figure out how to do this. And, you know, I'm like, Lord, let my show go forth if it's your will. It was not his will. His will was that I would have water in my house. His will was that my well would be put back in order. It was his will that we as a family had water to cook. Oh, come on now, Lord. God wanted to make sure everything was back in order, because you can't take a shower if you don't have any water. God wanted to make sure that, with the water he gives, we shall thirst no more. And I thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, who gives me water. Not just the well water, but the water that can only come from Christ. Gifts in disguise. So I thank you, God, that I could not get into this show, because you made it even more powerful today. I thank you, God. Lord, you will be, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. I was stumbling all over, and God said, not today. It's all good. Go forth. Ask in prayer. And I thank God that I was on the prayer line this morning. And I prayed. I asked him, please pray that my show will go forth. Please pray that the Bible study will go forth. And I thank God for righteous prayer. I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for everyone that was on the prayer line, lifting up the opportunity for God to get the glory this morning. This is God getting the glory. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Again, gifts in disguise. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Even when your well's not working, you got to give thanks. Even when you can't get into your dashboard, even if you can't get your shoulder work, again, give thanks in all circumstances. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When you think things are going wrong, they might be going for the good of you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 ESV. Good God, today I come to you with an open heart and intention set on you. Where I would normally react in negativity to unexpected challenges in my day, help me to turn it into gratefulness. Thank you, Jesus. I know that you can use anything to better me, and I want to be more like you. When testing comes, may I learn to creatively turn it into an opportunity to find something to be thankful for. Does not have potential to be turned into a place of praise. May I become a master praise spinner. Sing the opening for your love to shine through. As I practice the habit of gratitude, I know that it will come easier. I will more quickly see the areas that whisper your mercy. However big or small, every situation can be turned on its head in my thought life by finding a path of appreciation. Jesus, may you be glorified in my mind. Can you practice gratitude in the challenges of your life? Practice gratitude today. Give God all of you and let him do what he does. Be a work in you. For he is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. I thank God for all of you this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. Thank you for allowing God to come into your homes this morning through his word. And as I pray us out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed and know that you can be confident that the Lord will keep your foot from being caught. When the enemy is chasing you down, God has got you, that he can't even catch your feet because you're moving so fast. Because the Lord has already taken you up in his wings, and you are flying away because you got the name of Jesus on your lips. Thank you, God, again for this morning. If there is anyone that has a word, now is the time to push the number 1 on your phone or to dial 213-943-3597, and your line will be open again. Our guest call-in number is 213-943-3597. You can listen in on social media. I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Tumblr. You can listen in any of those mediums, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and type in Moving Forward, and you will find our show. So you can listen in. I believe we're even on Apple, and you can listen in on Apple Podcasts. So we are out there to give a word of God. So we are out on social media. I haven't got up to be on Facebook as far as my face and speaking this, going live. I don't do that yet, but I believe in God for it. And I'm not out on YouTube yet, but I know that one day God will open doors for even that. So thanking all of you. And there is no one that has a hand up or would like to speak. So as we wrap up, I say to you all, thank you again for listening in this morning. Thank you, God, above all, for listening to answer prayer, for prayers of righteous avail much. And I can only say thank you, Genesis Prayer Line, for praying for this opportunity for the blog to go forth. I thank God for all of you, family. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening in. As we move forward, let us remember, this is not about Pastor Bridget. This is about God and getting his word into the atmosphere. We read every word last year from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And we're doing it again. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach and teach your word. In Jesus' name, I pray, lifting up each and every listener, asking you to watch over them, asking you to give them overflow blessings, asking you, oh Lord, to lead and guide them, keep them safe from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger. Lord, as I pray for all the travelers over the highways, byways, and skyways, and trainways, keep them all covered, oh God. No hurt, no harm, no danger come nigh or near. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, family, for listening in. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap, y'all. I don't have to go to work till this afternoon, but I do have some work to do and around my home. So I'm thanking God again for all of you. Be blessed and know that you are loved by God. That's just who you are. That's who he is. He loves you. Be blessed because he is a good, good father. That's who he is. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.